What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't forget, you can head over to your local Civic Media station's website. I broadcast out of the WAUK, but we go out statewide. So if I wanted to check out AUK's website, I just go to WAUKradio.com and there's the station's website on you with all the shows that play out on your local Civic Media affiliate. You can get your local news roundup podcast with news specific to where you are in the state. Nice resource for everybody. Also, let's not forget that Civic Media now has a music station lineup. So, you know, taking a jog, if that's your thing. My old hips, knees, and ankles don't handle the jog so much anymore. You can check out our music station lineup. We got the best of the 80s, 90s, and more that you are in the mood for. Check it out on the Civic Media app and search for 105.7 CFW in Eau Claire or 99.7 Max FM out of Baraboo and Wisconsin Dells. If country music's more your thing, don't worry, we got you covered. 98Q Country Park Falls, 101.5.5 WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids, and of course, WRCO from Richland Center. All free, all in the Civic Media app, wherever you may be. So welcome, everybody. One of my most favorite callers and listeners, Mark from Prairie du Sac, called in. We were talking about a lot of stuff yesterday. Really important. We had on Professor Yoshika Herrera from the University of Wisconsin-Madison talking about funding for Ukraine and basically the political nonsense that has caused the funding holdup. I'm going to be talking about that more today. Again, my thanks to Professor Herrera, but I wanted to give Mark a shot first thing out of the box. If you too would like your say on these aid packages, funding for Taiwan, Israel, Ukraine, lots of news breaking yesterday and today. I'm going to cover it. Don't you worry. Don't go anywhere. If you would like to have your say, you can call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. But first up in our queue, my most loyal listener and caller, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I didn't get a chance to get to you yesterday. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Not a problem. And to get to the issue yesterday, I was calling in on the fat tax that should be out there. Is the fat tax the fat between Eric Hovde's ears? I mean, because we could gain a lot of money there. That and that we have to, and for the aid packages, it was far more important an issue. We have to get that funding out to Ukraine as well as Taiwan, and to because there's aggressor nations there that have to be confronted and faced. And the only way to do that is to provide funding to those countries, especially Ukraine. I mean, they're running out of ammunition, and they need that ammunition to hold off the Russians, as they have been doing in service to the entire Western world, in that part of the world. The traitors that are in our Congress right now that apparently are saying three cheers for the white, blue, and red.
The red, white, and blue. I hear you, Mark. Couldn't agree with you more. Thanks so much. If you wanted to hear our discussion about Eric Hovde and basically the billionaire that every time he opens his mouth to blab, some other blathering nonsense comes out, you can go check out the show on the podcast, civicmedia.us. Covered a lot of Hovde because Hovde last week basically said if you're in a nursing home, might be in a nursing home, think you might get old, know someone in a nursing home. Those people really, they're not at a point where their votes should count. That's Hovde's most recent blathering ridiculousness. You can check that out there. But to Mark's point and much of our discussion yesterday, again, here's the stage. The U.S. Senate back in February passed a comprehensive aid bill. It was $95.3 billion, which included $60 billion for funds for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, $9 billion in humanitarian assistance to Gaza. If you're screaming at the radio right now about aid to Israel, it had $9 billion for humanitarian aid in Gaza and $5 billion to aid our Indo-Pacific allies against Chinese threats. That's the Taiwan aid, right? All right, let's zoom back out. What are we talking about? The three hot spots in the world right now, hottest spots, right? Ukraine, the Mideast, Gaza, and Taiwan. Guess what? All three of these regions, we have allies that have been our allies for a very long time. And each of the opponents of our allies, so our allies here being Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, the forces that each of our allies are fighting against in these three hottest spots in the world are also all working together to oppose democracy, small d, to threaten the United States. Who are these enemies? They are China, Russia, and terrorists in the Middle East. These aren't forces aligned with the United States. And what Professor Herrera made abundantly clear yesterday on the show, again, you can go check that out, civicmedia.us, if you missed the professor, is that there's no rational, reasonable argument to be stopping or delaying the release of aid to Ukraine. None. And so, again, the Senate has had that bill approved since February of 2023. It has not moved anywhere in the House of Representatives because Speaker Johnson won't put it to a vote, won't even let it be called onto a committee's agenda. Now, what Professor Herrera made clear yesterday is that there's a way around that. I'm going to forget the name of it. It's the something, the discharge petition. There, turn the brain on, Maggie, before you get on the radio. The discharge petition is a way that by a majority of the members in the House of Representatives, you can effectively, forcibly pull a bill to the floor for debate and or vote. And so what happened overnight, I mean, we were on the cusp of breaking this news yesterday. What happened overnight... Two things. Late yesterday, Speaker Johnson unveiled an outline of a plan to address the conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East, basically defying a whole bunch of Republicans, especially the far MAGA right. And so what his plan that he met with the Republican, I'm going to call it the MAGA caucus from the House last night, was not that he's going to bring one comprehensive bill like the one that the Senate adopted that addresses Ukraine, aid to Israel, humanitarian aid, as well as aid to Taiwan. He's going to put forward and have brought to the House floor four separate bills. So he's disentangling these issues. So you'd have a standalone bill, aid for Israel. You'd have a standalone bill, aid to Ukraine, separate third bill, aid for Taiwan, and then basically a fourth bill that's kind of a hodgepodge of MAGA foreign policy demands, the catch-all. Now, the numbers in the package, these four different packages, are going to mirror nearly exactly, it's been reported, the bill that the Senate passed in February. But there are a couple items that are very worthy of note. One, he's doing this, which we've yet to actually see the bills. I checked just before we came onto the show. I don't think the bills have yet been released. We think they may be released very in short order because guess what? Congress is going to be in recess starting on Thursday, and Ukrainians are running out of ammunition. So it's kind of important since, you know, Speaker Johnson's been twiddling his thumbs since February. So the fact that he's doing it now is really noteworthy because it's that bad. even when MAGA Mike is going to say, well, maybe we should actually do something about Russian aggression, you know it's got to be bad. So that's noteworthy thing one. Noteworthy thing two is, guess what I didn't just mention? Nowhere in the list of stuff that I just talked about was anything about border security or improving our immigration processes or adding immigration judges so that claims of asylum can be heard and dispensed with in shorter order. Nothing in there about additional border patrol agents. Nothing in there about trying to increase processing times. In other words, speed up. I don't mean increase. Improve is what I mean. So that's a pretty big omission, right? Because remember, President Biden stood up and said, I'll sign the border bill. I'll sign the immigration bill. One of the most aggressive that Democrats have ever signaled a willingness to sign onto ever. And Mike Johnson wouldn't put it on the House floor. Now we've gotten to a point where the U.S. shirking our global responsibilities, turning our backs to Ukraine, has gotten Ukraine into such a precarious position that now he's being forced to act. In other words, let me just zoom way out, everybody. They could have gotten, meaning MAGA Republicans could have gotten so much of what they wanted, of what they've always said they wanted, vis-a-vis the border and improving immigration processes. But they wanted everything. They wanted no compromise. They wanted all of it. And so they walked away from a deal that they have never seen from Democrats before. Still did not put Ukraine funding forward. And so now what are they getting? Nothing for improving our immigration system. Nothing for increasing border security, which is a major problem. And they're going to have to do Ukraine funding anyways. Way to negotiate against yourselves, MAGA Republicans. That was a really effective technique. This is absurdity. And why? What is the root? What is the commonality between all of these things? Donald Trump liking Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump wanting to run on immigration, creating a straw person, if you will, with which to batter President Biden. All political theater, all political performative politics, as I like to call it. Stay tuned. I'm going to dig in more detail into Mike Johnson's plan to avoid disaster in Ukraine after these brief messages here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network statewide here in Wisconsin. One of my favorite evening activities during baseball season is listening to the Brewers. I'm a big fan of listening to baseball. I think it's the most listenable of all sports. The best thing, the coolest thing, is that I can now say to my smart speaker, play WRJN. Or play Bull Falls Radio, or play WAUK, when I know the Brewers are on one of our affiliate stations, and hear the Brewers game call on the Civic Media app through my smart speaker. You can do that too. For example, tonight, the Padres are taking on the Brewers here in AmFam Field. Game time starts 6:05. You can listen on Richland Center's WRCE, WRJN in Racine, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, and Country 98Q WCQM in Park Falls. You want to check the game out, say to your smart speaker, play WISS when it is time for the game, and there it will be. That's when I'm going to be doing this afternoon while the rain falls down here in southeastern Wisconsin. Drive safely out there, everyone. Talking this half hour about the fact that Mike Johnson, Speaker MAGA Mike Johnson's feet finally got put to the fire. Things are so bad in Ukraine. We have, and I shouldn't say we, I should say the MAGA party led by Donald Trump has so turned its back on our international responsibilities that the war in Ukraine is at its most critical juncture, many would argue, since Russia illegally invaded a sovereign nation. They're literally going to run out of bullets, basically. And so for those traditional conservatives of conscience, the time is now. And we must do something because, again, as we discussed yesterday with Professor Herrera from UW-Madison's political science department, our national security, the security of our allies in Western Europe, is in the balance, hangs in the balance. And continued delays will have absolutely existential ramifications in Ukraine and would therefore potentially lead to further Russian aggression in other regions. It's terrible. So, as we talked about yesterday, you know, the border is important. We need better security at the border. That is true. But that doesn't make the situation in Ukraine any less urgent, any less existential, any less of a threat to the peace and safety that we as Americans have come to enjoy and expect, and that everyone in our government should be working on. I would argue at minimum, these issues are of equal importance, but they are distinct. So Speaker Johnson finally, at a breaking point, late last night, unveils a plan to have basically four separate bills brought to the House for votes. Aid bill for Taiwan, aid bill for Israel, aid bill for Ukraine, and then a mishmash of Republican foreign policy wish list items. And, of course, that Mensa member, also known as Marjorie Taylor Greene, then had this to say. She labeled the plan a scam and said she's firmly against it. I support the majority and I want it next time, so I'm being careful. He's definitely not going to be speaker next Congress if we're lucky enough to have the majority. I get why for MTG, it's personally in her interest to self-promote in this way and engage in performative politics. But what's empty? What's your point at the end of the day? You just take Mike Johnson because he's, you know, dealing with reality and the threat that Vladimir Putin is. What's your position on Vladimir Putin, MTG? Do you have one? Can you spell his name? Can you point out Russia on a map? I digress. My point is she's just railing, tilting against windmills is a phrase that comes to mind.
Well, pointing to Russia on a map is a bit like trying to hit the side of a barn. So
I'm a little amazed. I'm being, of course, hyperbolic.
Sure.
But what's your policy position? We shouldn't fund aid to Ukraine because why exactly? There's just no reasoned belief. There's no reasoned opposition to funding aid to Ukraine. It is in our interest, full stop. Should we be doing something about border security? Of course we should. And I don't know any reasonable Democrat that disagrees with that. We should have more immigration judges, more border agents. We should do more to protect the border. We need to deal with the folks that are coming to our country in a humane way. We shouldn't be talking about them as if they're animals. But can we walk and chew gum at the same time, America? Can we deal with the threat of Putin as well as the border at the same time? Shouldn't that be okay to demand of our elected officials? I say so. Chip Roy, a very verbose representative from Texas, had this to say because the speaker's package, again, did not include and is not addressing border security. It's straight up about aid to allies. And again, this guy usually has a lot to say. This is what he said after the meeting last night. It's just what it is. It's just what it is. Well, it's needed. It's needed. Aid to Ukraine. I might speak in hyperbole, but the hyperbole speaks to a fundamental point. If Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to criticize the speaker's plan, what's her plan to help secure Ukraine and turn back the threat that is Vladimir Putin? That's the point. You don't get to tilt at windmills. You have to have a plan. You have to have a counter proposal. Otherwise, all you're doing is prattling on, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene's lock, stock, and trade. Dick from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Well, first of all, I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene should just stick to Hawk in her new coloring book and maybe offer the crayons with it. But I find something really fascinating with Johnson. He goes and gets pulled by his choker chain by Trump last weekend, was it, and got drugged down to Mar-a-Lago. I'm sure he got dressed down for anything that he said that he didn't like. But yesterday I heard him come right out and call Putin an evil dictator. And how does that work with his orange buddy? I don't quite follow. But I'll tell you what their overall plan is, as far as I'm concerned. They used to say it about us. Theirs is just to cut and run and leave them. And it's not an option. It's not an option for us or the rest of the world.
No kidding. I don't know how Mike Johnson's going to explain this new position to his political patron. I think that's the tension point. And don't worry, the reaction from the MAGA party was swift. By this morning, another Republican, Tom Massey of Kentucky, stood up and called on Johnson to resign as speaker and signed on to MTG's plan to remove him in another motion to vacate. So the Speaker Olympics for the MAGA party and the House of Representatives back in motion because, you know, we're trying to do the right thing. We're going to move on when I come back. Got to talk about that hush money trial in New York. All sorts of things happening there. Don't worry, I have the 42-question juror questionnaire. It's very interesting. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Back with more after your farm update.
Don't say a word, no, don't tell another. Just one little white lie won't hurt ya. Keep it a secret.
Welcome, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network statewide. My name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome. Hope you're doing well this afternoon. Just the last half hour, been sharing with you all that it appears Speaker Mike Johnson is finally going to do what is the right thing and bring forward aid packages for Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, as well as a number of other measures. What's notably absent from Speaker Johnson's proposal just announced last night is that there is no immigration element. And I wanted to briefly address a talking point that I've heard on the right over and over and over again. And it is folks on the right screaming and yelling about the fact that the bipartisan immigration bill, and I say bipartisan because it was put on the floor and there was about to be put on the floor in the Senate, and there were conservatives and longstanding members of the Republican Party that were supportive of the bill. Yes, the bill included or permitted thousands of people to cross the border without proper legal process on a day-over-day basis. There's a reason for that. It also permitted and allowed effectively the president to attempt to, once illegal crossings hit that level, to effectively shut down the border. It gave the president that legal right, which many legal scholars question whether the president has that ability as the law stands now. So it was going to give the president additional powers. There's two important things that cut against this repeated and lacking of detail point that I hear all the time from the right, which is zero illegal border crossings. Zero. There should be zero. This bill, we got to reject it because it allows some. And granted, thousands, 4,000 even. There are two reasons for that. You can't stop. Three reasons. As a point of practicality, you're not going to stop everyone. That's thing one. Thing two, according to Justice Alito, one of the most conservative Supreme Court justices, we can't make that number zero because we don't have places to put everyone. We could not comply with the most minimum standards of conditions because we lack the facilities to detain people. Are you hearing me in the back row? I'm speaking real slow so you can follow me. One of the most conservative justices on the Supreme Court said, that's a stupid argument, basically, because we don't have places to put them. Guess what the bill that had bipartisan support in the Senate would have done? Increase the capacity of detention facilities. So you want fewer crossings? You have to build more facilities. To do that, you needed to sign on to the bill. Guess what the other thing is? President Biden said he would sign the executive order and the bill on the same day to shut down the border because we are already over the threshold amount of weekly crossings as identified in the bill. Again, are you catching this in the back row? Fox News, are you listening? Every time you repeat this lie, you don't help us figure out what to do about the border. Because we have to have a discussion that's actually embedded with facts and the correct context. We do not have the detention facilities to basically jail every single person who comes across our border without proper legal process. Period. Full stop. The bill that the Senate, from the Senate that had bipartisan support that Trump killed, included the funding to do that. And listen, Republicans have admitted that this isn't about trying to get it done or actually help at the border. Representative Troy Neals, Republican of Texas, told CNN that he would not vote for a bill to make issues at the border better because it could help President Biden's approval ratings, saying this, quote, let me tell you, I'm not willing to do too damn much right now to help a Democrat and to help Joe Biden's approval ratings. That's what's going on. Okay, now that I've gotten that off my chest, we can talk about the hush money trial. This is wild. Yesterday, we made history, and not in a good way. For the first time in the history of our United States, a former American president is now formally facing trial on criminal charges. This is the first in American history. And so jury selection begun yesterday, or it sort of began, and there wasn't so much selecting as in deselecting. There were like 90 some odd people, 50 of them were let go. They maybe got like six potentially qualified jurors. Anya found some sound for us about one of those potential jurors that was released. In other words, said either she said she couldn't be impartial for whatever reason, was dismissed as a possible juror. She was interviewed coming out of the courthouse, and I thought her observations about just kind of the vibe in the courtroom and during the process were really interesting. Anya, go ahead if you've got it.
One left after, yesterday they asked for kind of, do you worry about your ability to be fair and impartial? And a lot of people left then, but not as many did as I expected, actually. There were a fair number of people left. And I, of course, have opinions about the defendant, but, you know, everyone deserves a right to a fair trial. So I was like, I'll stick around, I'll see what they ask, and I'll tell the truth. And it seemed like everyone was really kind of trying to put their own feelings aside. Impartial, and there were people from I want to say kind of both sides of the aisle in the jury box who were answering the questionnaire who said I do have these prior political beliefs either in favor of or against the defendant, but I am willing to put that aside and try and be impartial because I think everyone kind of sensed that we were running out of potential jurors, and I'm sure they could call more, but there was a sense of like, oh, we need to be here and do our civic duty and whatnot. So,
it, it, and It's interesting. Other folks that were in the room described some of the tension, like potential jurors weren't talking to each other much. They felt very much under a microscope, and that the potential jurors felt the seriousness of the moment. And my experience with juries is that people take that job really seriously. I've said it before on my show. Listen, if you ever get a summons, don't immediately try to figure out the 18 different ways to get out of it. You know, if we don't show up to do that most basic duty, we've sort of preordained an unjust justice system. So we need folks to show up when they receive their jury summons. So a lot going on. Again, nearly 100 prospective jurors. The proceedings adjourned for the day yesterday without a single juror having been chosen. That's pretty remarkable. Not one. I pulled the 42 question. Here it is. If you're watching on YouTube X or the Facebook, I pulled the 42 question jury questionnaire. Just thought I'd point out some of the more interesting ones. I was fascinated by this. Like, how exactly did they ask some of these questions, right? Right out of the box, question 8, do you participate in any organizations or advocacy groups? I thought that was interesting, right? Which of the following print publications, cable and or network programs or online media, such as websites, blogs, social media platforms, do you visit, read, or watch? Interesting. They got Newsmax, they got MSNBC, they got the New York Post, they got the New York Daily News, they got HuffPost, WSJ, Truth Social. They're all on there. I thought, okay, I see you. I see what you're doing there, Judge Mershon. Do you listen to or watch podcasts? Which ones? Do you listen to talk radio? I hope so, the Civic Media Radio Network, specifically the Maggie Dawn Show. Have you a relative, close friend, ever been employed by federal, state, or local government? I thought that was interesting. Do you know anybody who works in local government, basically? Do you know any lawyers? That's a standard one. Or anybody who works in the legal field? This was a good one. Do you have any political, moral, intellectual, or religious beliefs or opinions which might slant your approach to this case? D, all of them.
Yeah.
I joke. Can you give us an assurance that you will be fair and impartial and not base your decision in this case upon a bias or prejudice? Et cetera. Can you promise to guard against allowing stereotypes or attitudes about individuals or groups of people influence your decision? Have you, a relative or a close friend, ever worked for any company or organization run by Donald Trump or any one of his family? Oh, that's interesting. Have you volunteered or worked for the Trump presidential campaign, the administration, or any affiliated entity? This one was good. I thought, yeah, you... There was one question that you definitely should ask. It's probably this. Have you ever considered yourself, and that phrasing is interesting, have you ever considered yourself a supporter of or belong to any of the following? The QAnon movement, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, 3%ers, Boogaloo Boys, and Antifa. I mean... I don't want Antifa members on my jury. I also do not want Boogaloo Boys because you're a little out there. You would not be a jury of my peers, if you know what I'm saying. Do you have any strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about whether a former president may be criminally charged in state court? Sort of the immunity question. Interesting. Do you have feelings or opinions about how Mr. Trump is being treated in this case? Ooh, that's juicy. Can you give the court your assurance that you will decide this case solely on the evidence as you see and hear it in this courtroom and the law as the judge gives it? Ah. Have you read any of these books? Disloyal, a memoir. Mea Culpa, the podcast. People versus Donald Trump. These are... books or podcasts by Michael Cohen or Mark Pomerantz. That's very interesting. There'll be witnesses. Some 43 witnesses. Folks think the trial maybe takes 6 to 8 weeks, but A potential juror was released because he's got his daughter's wedding in June. That's more than 8 weeks. Yeah. And he's got to be there every day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he does legally in New York. Yeah. Actually, the accused in New York has a right to participate in sidebars. They can listen to sidebar questioning of jurors. It's really very fascinating. Here's a good one. Can you promise to set aside anything you may have heard or read about this case and render your verdict based solely on the evidence presented in this courtroom and the law given to you by the judge? Can you give us your absolute assurance that you will refrain from discussing the case? That's a good one. And then their final question, is there any reason that would prevent you from being fair and impartial if you were selected as a juror for this case? I thought, maybe I could adopt a boiled down version of the juror questionnaire, Anya, for every time someone feel like somebody is asking me a political question. Be like, wait, let's do a little voir dire.
Just one moment. Would you mind filling out this worksheet before we continue this discussion?
Exactly. Like, do you believe that there are observable facts? Do you believe in science? Maybe I could get a very sexy film voice. Do you believe in science?
Do you or a loved one believe in reality?
Right. Or alternative facts. Dun, dun, dun.
Da-da-da.
Anyways, bunch of legal wrangling happened in the hush money trial yesterday that I thought was very interesting. Judge Marchand not messing around this one. Not one little bit. Of course I got to talk about Trump maybe taking a little break. You'll never fall asleep when you're listening to this show. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to dig into some of those important rulings yesterday from Judge Marchand in Trump's hush money voter manipulation trial happening in New York City as we speak. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't you dare pay that hush money. Ooh. And then fail to report it on your federal election paperwork. Don't bribe people and lie about it. Not a good look. Okay. Lots of great input on the text line. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join our conversation anytime this afternoon. You all are my guests today on the Maggie Dawn Show. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm talking about Trump's voter manipulation trial that got started yesterday with non-selection jury selection. They haven't selected a single jury yet. Sharing with all of you many of the questions that jurors are asked. I think good set of questions. And getting some wonderful feedback, as I always like to hear, on our text line. You can also call us again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Cam from Nina weighing in about how folks that discuss some of our border policies never talk about how we're going to pay for it, or they claim that Mexico will pay for it. That didn't happen and wouldn't. Also hearing from the 608 from WMDX land saying, preach, Maggie, thank you for speaking the truth about the border. Others observing that jurors probably might be a little bit freaked out about becoming a juror when arguably Donald Trump can command armed forces of people, you know, in kind of cultish behavior. The death threats. I mean, Megan Wolf, I haven't gotten to that topic yet. It is on my list for this week. I will address the death threats coming in to Wisconsin Election Commission Director Megan Wolf. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. But yes, I'd be a little freaked out to be on that jury. I mean, in the Florida documents case, they're trying to leak witness names and things like that. This is dangerous. The two election workers in Georgia who were slandered repeatedly have had to move number of times. They still receive death threats. Another question coming in from 920, who wrote up the border bill that the House rejected. It was a version of the Senate's bill, which was basically a bipartisan compromise. I forget who all authored that, but it was basically written by both Republicans and Democrats. And Mary from Tulsa asks me to explain what a sidebar is. I was explaining last segment that in New York State, the defendant's required to be there in court. Right now, court is scheduled Monday through Friday with Wednesdays off. Not unusual in really complicated cases for at least a half day or a day to be basically in recess to allow the lawyers and the client and the jurors a minute to catch their breath, get ready for the next phase of evidence and witnesses. But I mentioned that defendants in New York have a right to participate in sidebars where jurors are questioned. A sidebar is where a quiet conversation is had off of the microphones outside of the earshot of everyone else that's in the gallery, including potentially other jurors or prospective jurors. So if there was something really sensitive about a person's background that they didn't want shared in an open courtroom with, you know, the world's media there, that's when you use a sidebar. It basically means a quiet conversation, not on the mics, usually not transcribed. The lawyers can ask for sidebars to be transcribed by the court reporter. So that is what a sidebar is. Keep the questions and comments coming. I appreciate them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I wanted to tell you a couple of other things that happened during the case yesterday, during the first day, including, of course, Donald Sleepy Don falling asleep. A lot of what was being argued about basically fell in sort of two categories. Trump's attempts to delay or to not have to show up in court or to have court canceled on certain days. And then arguments about evidence. Because at base, this is about Donald Trump's obsession with the media, which he's had a close relationship with and used to his personal and financial benefit since the 80s. His relationship with the media, especially the tabloids, that was really Donald Trump was one of the first national figures to really leverage and use tabloids to promote himself. And he had very close relationships with a number of tabloids, including the holding company owned by David Pecker that owned the National Enquirer. Thanks, Jeff from Shoreward, letting us know. Breaking news, NBC reporting that 6 jurors have been seated. They need a total of 12 in New York for this trial to proceed. 6 jurors have been seated. Thanks for breaking the news, Jeff from Shoreward. But the evidentiary arguments yesterday were largely about what elements of Trump's sex life are fair to be presented to the jury, specifically as it relates to how Donald Trump was concerned that the media would report about his sex life following the Access Hollywood grab him by the you-know-what tape release mere weeks, like 5 weeks before the presidential election in 2016. And everybody knew back then that the women and where they were going to vote, how they were going to vote, was really important in 2016. So there was a lot of discussion about, can they talk about Karen McDougal, who isn't the woman at the root of the voter manipulation trial in New York? Because he paid, people are calling it the hush money trial. No, it was it's voter manipulation. Because he paid the hush money, it was to benefit his campaign, lied about it to cover it all up so that voters wouldn't have the information. That was the whole point. He had to pay off Stormy Daniels so that none of this came out. And because that benefited his campaign, you got to report that. So it is about voter manipulation. You manipulate voters by making sure they don't have full information about you. So here were some of the notable rulings by Judge Mershon. Yep, you are not going to disrupt proceedings or we'll have you removed from court and try you in absentia. Trump was quiet yesterday, fell asleep for nearly 3 minutes until his head lulled to his side and his lawyer kept passing him notes and he jerked awake. I mean, if I was him, I'd be using sort of like clockwork orange type toothpicks to keep my eyeballs open during this one. Don't worry, everybody. I will finish sharing with you some of the rulings from Judge Merchan. After this top of the hour, we're also going to be covering a huge Supreme Court argument happening today. Don't go anywhere. News, weather, and sports are next.